introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he puts
look at this.
Jamal Williams. Touchdown.
You gotta be kidding me.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And the streak is over. Just like that. Went from having the full crew down a man for now. He might join us later, but down a man for now. QB1 could not be here, but we're still going to soldier on. We're going to do this thing, but we're going to do it quick because it is late. Folks are tired. I got a road trip with the family tomorrow, so we're going to get right to this. Miles, wide receiver one, what's animal up? Whisperer, collector of all sorts of pets. How goes it, man? How you doing?
Yo, this kitten's nuts, man. He's biting my computer right now, like looking at me with that like fierce look like I'm about to screw up your podcast, so...
So if things start to go crazy, it's not AOL's fault this time. It's the kitten's fault.
It's definitely he's biting the computer right now. Get off! He's on the he's on the keyboards. Yeah.
So what's your next animal gonna be?
A car. I don't know.
A bird next.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. So let's get this done before the cat ruins the pod, Prince.
Man.
You find any pets on your way home today?
Child, I'm allergic to so many pets. I'm probably not going to have one for a long, long time.
Okay. So what you been up to, man? How you doing?
Good. Lost a few games of basketball before this thing, so my ego's a little bruised right now.
No surprise there.
Hey, man, I haven't lost in weeks. Weeks. But no, it's been good, you know. The end of the month, beginning of the month is kind of ramping up, so work's kind of going in overdrive for me. Training a lot of new people, and just trying to survive.
All right. All right, we'll get to it. So the question of the night, something that we threw out there on the timeline, and I'm interested in your opinions. We don't have to spend too much time on this, but this is something that people have kicked around, talked about a little bit here. Last year, we had a great offense. We had a great defense. Which play caller was more impressive? Miles, was it Mike Zimmer or was it Pat Shurmur, and why?
Yeah, I definitely think you can make an argument for both coaches just because both did such a great job, and especially the circumstances they were in last year for Pat Shurmur, especially with Sam Bradford going down, Dalvin Cook getting hurt, and all that. So, but I did go with Mike Zimmer just for the simple fact that he had historically one of the best defenses of all time in terms of third down conversion rates. The turnovers weren't all that high, but like the situation of football that they played was like some of the best I've seen from Vikings football in a very long time. I think Pat Shurmur, basically the issue with me for not issue, but the thing with his play calling and everything like that was, I think it was very QB friendly. Not that Case Keenum didn't play well, not that he didn't, you know, help take that team to the NFC championship, that offense, and turn things around, but he had, you know, obviously, the defense had really a lot of talent on it too, but you know, the offense was designed to do things quickly, and the quarterback did not have to make a lot of difficult reads and decisions. It was, you know, first or second read, and boom, that was it. You know, quick throws. So I thought it was pretty QB friendly. They ran the ball a lot, so to kind of protect the quarterback in that sense. So I think for me, it had to have been Zimmer just for that simple fact. I just think the things he had to do to get creative with his players was a little bit more unique, in my opinion, just because, like I said, with Shurmur, with Sam Bradford getting hurt, there was a little bit – he had to kind of dial things back a little bit. Maybe it would have been different if Sam Bradford had stayed healthy, but with Case Keenum, I think it was a little more dumbed down a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I can see the fact that you have to design an offense – that could effectively support Case Keenum, simple as it may be. That's not a check mark in the Pat Shurmur column by designing that offense that was still able to do all of those awesome things with like your backup quarterback.
No, it's not.
I just think it's not that it wasn't unique, and it's not that it wasn't like impressive. To me, the offense did what it wasn't all that. They didn't do anything complex. They didn't do anything, in my opinion, unique. It was pretty similar to what you saw. A lot of the stuff that North Turner ran, besides obviously the going to more of a zone scheme for the run game and everything like that. But quick, easy reads, quick, easy throws. It didn't ask a lot of the quarterback. And again, like I'm saying, it's not that Case Keenum didn't play well, not that he didn't bring his own uniqueness to that offense, but it didn't ask a lot of him just because of the reads he was asked to make. So to me, it wasn't as complicated.
Okay. I'll take that. Prince, how about you? Which way are you going with this one? Miles has sided with the fans on this one. So in the voting, it came out Zimmer eked it out at the end. It was 50-50 for most of the day, but at the very end, Zimmer had a late push to get to 51% of the vote. So Miles and the fans are aligned on this one here, where just Zimmer takes a slight lead. Are you riding with Miles and everybody else, or do you see it differently?
I see it differently. I actually voted for Pat Shurmur. I think, you know, obviously having Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen was a godsend to any offense. But understand, Pat Shurmur did lose Dalvin Cook, and I know that he was going to be a huge part of what Pat Shurmur was going to have for the season. He lost his number one quarterback in Sam Bradford. Teddy was injured the entire season, so you really never got to have maybe a step above a potential play that he could have had. And I think that he schemed around a lot of some of the weaknesses that were the offensive line, as well as Case Keenum, because Case Keenum did some things that are really good. He could protect. He oftentimes masked the issues of the offensive line, as well as, again, I just think some of the play calling really brought forth a lot of his strengths and whatnot. And I think with that, you know, the reason why I don't give credit to Mike Zimmer, not because, I mean, it's not a fault of his own, but I mean, he does have a lot of talented guys on that side of the ball. I mean, he does have Anthony Barr, Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, Eric Kendricks. I mean, he has a lot of toys that Linval Joseph, he has a lot of toys that he can work with, which, yes, he had to be a good play caller. But at the same time, I mean, even average play calling could really produce a lot of great results for that. And last season, I didn't necessarily see Shurmur as often get out schemed by an opposing defense. I think the issue was, you know, he probably had a wide range of things that he wanted to call, as well as things that he wanted to scheme, but obviously couldn't because it would expose the offensive line and the Keenum a little bit too much. Whereas I think Zimmer, you saw him get out schemed a few times, obviously in the NFC championship game, honestly, towards the end of that, Saints game as well too, and then really towards the kind of the latter half of the year, you saw him get out scheme a little bit more. He was even getting out scheme in that Browns game. So whereas Shurmur, I didn't really see him get out scheme as much. So I liked what he was doing as far as on the offensive side of the ball. I think he kept the defense a lot more healthy than it has been in previous seasons by continuing to score, as well as, you know, sustaining drives and whatnot. So I'm gonna give the nod to Pat Shurmur over Zimmer.
Okay, I like it. Super close, like Miles said on this one. Really, no wrong answer. Yinka made some compelling points. Miles made some compelling points. Fans ride with Miles by just a little bit there. But we'll move on from this one, and we'll start talking about some of the things that
Jay, you're not gonna have an answer on that?
Oh no, I'm abstaining from the vote on this one. It's between you and Miles, like all things now. Everything comes down to you versus Miles until, you know, this basketball game gets settled.
Oh, it's already been settled, bro. It's already been settled.
And we need the footage, man. We need the footage. So, Miles, obviously we're going to start with you on this next one. We've been talking for a long time here about Stephon Diggs, needing to get this money. And, you know, there were some folks who thought maybe he shouldn't get this money. But at the end of the day, the Vikings agreed, paid Stephon Diggs the money that, you know, I feel like is right in that range that most of us thought that he was gonna get. So now that Stephon Diggs has been paid, what does he have to do for this deal to be worth it, in your opinion? And then I guess B, because obviously this is where people go right away. People like to be upset about stuff. What, like, what's the worst case scenario from your perspective? Because Joel Corey, he did have a couple tweets on the timeline where he was saying, you know, the Vikings could be in a tough situation if Adam Thielen puts up better volume stats in 2018 than Stephon Diggs. So from your perspective, I guess, what does Diggs need to do to live up to the deal? And then, you know, what's, I guess, the worst case scenario for the Vikings from a, like, a PR standpoint now that Diggs has secured the bag?
Wait, can you read it? Kind of what you mean by a PR standpoint with Stephon Diggs? What's the worst case?
Yeah, worst case. So they're saying, like, you have Stephon Diggs, he makes all this money, but then Adam Thielen goes out there and has like a 1,700-yard receiving season or something.
Okay,
yeah, gotcha. Yeah. So like, is that the worst case scenario for the Vikings, or is it, you know, Stephon gets hurt in week one? Like, what's the worst case scenario as you look at it from your perspective? Now that Stephon has been paid, really ahead of really breaking into superstardom, like many people think that he might.
Yeah, I'd say the worst case scenario would probably be more likely the simple fact that he misses more games than he's already missed in his two seasons, I'll say, because his rookie season he only missed games because they sat him because North Turner is North Turner. But yeah, the last two seasons he's missed a few games. I think if he misses more than a few games, I think it becomes a problem. You don't want him missing, you know, a slew of games, you know, four or five games here or there. To me, one or two games isn't a big deal. A lot of guys do it, especially, you know, the week 17 game. You know, a lot of guys don't dress if you're in the playoff hunt. So, or if you are secured a playoff berth and all that kind of stuff too. So it is what it is there, but, that's one of it for me. If he doesn't continue his upward trajectory, cause like you look at his, like I know his stats, he's been very impressive, everything he's done so far in his career, especially for how young he is and how quickly he's able to develop in a way. But I think if he needs to continue that development into a bona fide, like you said, superstar, because he's got that ability. He's in the top 10, in my opinion, right now, but he has the ability, and they're trying to pay him to be that true top 6-7 receiver, you know, top, even within that top five range. I'm not saying it'd be easy to get to that point, but I do know that he's got the volume to be able to do that kind of stuff. He could be an Antonio Brown type receiver. I'm not saying he's going to be Antonio Brown, because that's really, really hard to do, especially with a guy like Adam Thielen on the other side of the ball who commands as much volume as he does too. So I think that kind of affects that a little bit too, but no, I just think if Diggs continues on the trajectory he's on, I think he's in perfect position. I mean, you see, he's gotten better every single season in the NFL. His rookie year, he put up 720 yards, and that was him missing, what, three or four games to start the season. So let's say he goes 1,000 yards as a rookie. The season after that, the offensive line was in shambles. They just threw him in the slot and threw him dump off passes all the time. And then last season, to me, was by far his best season, just because of everything he did in terms of deep passes, contested catches, touchdowns. The potential is there, and I think they're going to continue to build on that, and they're going to feature the pass game around him. I won't say the offense, because it sounds like Dalvin Cook's kind of the guy who's going to be featured the most, which, you know, we can talk about it all the time, but not going to do that right now. But I think the pass game is going to be featured around him. Paying him the money they did, I think it kind of shows who they believe has the higher ceiling and who has the longer, you know, tenure here as a Viking. So, I was really excited about the contract. I think it's a really good deal for both sides. Diggs gets a lot of money up front. He gets that spread out through that 5 years. The team gets some flexibility in there after the first three seasons, I think it is. So yeah, really good deal for both sides. Really excited to see Diggs blossom into the receiver I think he can be, which, I mean, he's basically already been, but I think he can take it to another level.
I like it. And Prince, were you able to speak with Adam today? Is he holding up all right now that Diggs has been paid?
Yeah, I mean, he's quite upset, given the fact that he really truly feels he's the number one wide receiver. And the fact that Diggs got paid makes he's probably going to hold out at this point. Actually, you know what? No, that's Vikings Twitter, not Adam. With that, I agree with Miles. I think this deal, I actually think this is more of a better deal for the Vikings than it is for Stephon Diggs. I think Diggs could have held out for, you know, $1.5 million more per year if he just hit the open market and probably could have gotten more in guarantees. But something that we've been able to see with the Vikings really time and time again recently is guys want to play in Minnesota. If they're if you're part of this core, if Zimmer has embraced you in every facet, guys want to play in Minnesota, and they're taking deals that honestly they're not really as much money as they could command, but you know, they'd rather get that deal, they'd rather get paid up front, get some of this money, get that security. You saw that with the Neil Hunter. A lot of these guys, they just want to take care of their families or communities right away. And the best thing they can do is like, yeah, we can wait on the $18 million contract, you know, $50, $60 million guaranteed. But at the end of the day, like a lot of these, like I said, a lot of these guys have families. They want to feed their families and want to help out their communities. And this is the best way they feel that they can. So it was a steal for the Vikings, in my opinion. What Diggs needs to do, I think he just needs to continue on the trajectory he's already on. I think he can obviously elevate his play. I think Jason, you and I agree that you can still see there's so much untapped potential with Diggs, even if he's playing at such a high level. I still see this guy could be a potentially top five wide receiver in the league. As well as, you know, I know the injuries are going to be always an issue of concern with Vikings fans and whatnot, but I think even if he does miss one or two games a season, he's still producing at such a high level where I don't really think it's going to matter as much. So this was fantastic. This is what I was hoping and waiting for. And, you know, let's get to football.
And note from the editor, it's jokes, people. It's jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes. We like Adam Thielen. We like Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen just signed a contract. He is not really at the top of the list of concerns for the team right now because he just signed an extension. So these are jokes. We don't hate Adam Thielen. We actually like, let's say, the majority of the players that play for the Minnesota Vikings because that is the team that we cheer for. They are just jokes. We also said a couple podcasts ago that if Adam Thielen felt he was underpaid and wanted to hold out, we would support him in that because we like to see the players get paid. So please, they're jokes. Not a big deal.
Well, and
we don't hate anybody.
The Vikings have the flexibility in Adam Thielen's contract next offseason to where they can give him more guaranteed money. Like, there's more money for him to be had. It's not like they're just going to completely squash. They're not. I personally don't think they're just going to make him hold, you know, play to the complete deal as it is, just because, you know, they're pretty good about being good with contracts with guys. But I will say this is the first year of his contract. Like,
it's the very first year. Like, he's got through one season of his contract
extension. Last year was still technically on his restricted free agent tender. So this is the first year of his contract. The Vikings usually don't re-up guys and do all that kind of stuff after one season of extending a guy. So we'll see. I'm not saying they're not going to do it, because I think they'll probably need to do something just to help appease a little bit. But yeah, I mean, what are they going to, they're not going to completely overhaul his
hit him with that Julio. Just move some of that Garrett, some of that money he was going to get anyway to the
front. To guarantee. Right, yeah.
Yep.
Just add a little bit more to it, or, you know, they're not going to scrap that complete contract where they have full control of him for the next 3 years to be like, oh, here's a $14.5 million per year contract. They're not going to do that.
Nope. 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 All right. So we're on the same page. And again, it's jokes, y'all. Relax. And Matt, you know, was not calling you racist today. So if you're listening, this is me telling you, don't think you're racist. Don't know you. So I don't think you're racist. So I was just
Matt's a good jokes. Dude, man. Matt's
I know. Matt is a good dude, but Matt was upset with me today. So I wanted to take this opportunity to say, I do not think Matt is a racist. I have not seen Matt put anything on the timeline that I've ever thought was racist. So I'm just saying that. I was just joking around.
So, Jason, you think Matt's racist?
I do not think Matt is racist.
Oh, I was just making sure. Damn, I thought I heard you.
Damn it. All right. So let's move away from the wide receiver controversy that has truly divided the timeline and talk about the wide receiver story that has, I'd say, almost all of the timeline. Happy. Excited.
Well, everyone but you.
Okay, yes. That's why I said almost. Almost. I said almost. You know, almost everybody. Super excited. And, you know, it's training camp. And I almost said our man. Miles's guy. Prince's guy. JR's guy. Laquan Treadwell is out here doing big things.
Yeah, man.
Practice. Doing
we're
it
talking
up.
About practice, not we the game.
We're talking about practice. And so, you know I give Laquan Treadwell a really hard time on the show, on the timeline, but he's been doing some big things, some nice things here. And so I figure we could take a little bit of time, Miles. Maybe you could walk us through some of what Laquan Treadwell has been doing in some of the clips that we've seen. And then there was a new one today. And help us understand what you're seeing that actually gives you hope for him taking that and translating it on the field versus maybe some of what we heard in years past.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, what I really think I see the most out of Treadwell is I honestly think he just looks healthy. And I know it's been 3 years since his ankle, three plus years since his ankle injury, but I really think this is the first time he just looks like there's a little bit of bounce in his step. He looks like there's, you know, a little bit more of that explosion. He looks more comfortable. Everything seems like it's kind of clicking a little bit. And that's not to say that he's going to go out there and be a 1,000-yard receiver or anything like that. But I think he looks like the guy that they thought they had drafted originally back in 2016. Or maybe, you know, maybe not even to that extent, but I think he's starting to look more like the guy of and giving you more of a reason as to why they did draft him in the first round 2 years ago, because he's got that ability. You see the big body, you see the strong hands, the way he can box guys out in the red zone. I think he could be the type of guy who could help on third down because of that too. But yeah, you're seeing a lot of those things now that, you know, I think fans and even the team wish they'd seen last year and the year before. But I do think a part of that does tie into that ankle injury. Like I said, I don't have any bearings to it to know any knowledge of it, but it just looks that way when you watch him on just some of the clips that we've seen. But when I looked at, you know, some of the clips that we've seen, like he had a touchdown over Xavier Rhodes, what was it, 2 days ago. What I loved is just a simple corner on the red zone, but you see some of the unique ways for him to find ways to gain separation, which I don't think he did his first two seasons in the league. He kind of seemed to kind of just run basic routes, but he didn't have any moves or didn't do anything because he doesn't have we know he doesn't have the full speed. He doesn't have he's not quite as athletic as some of the other guys to create his own separation just through athleticism. So he's got what he needed to always do was find some of those unique ways to get himself open. And what I saw in a clip in that corner of the end zone was he pressed Xavier Rhodes on a corner route where he pressed him up, stepped on his toes, and used his what I call like it's like a chicken wing. So instead of extending your arms fully to push off, which you know can get called and all that kind of stuff, what he did instead was use kind of more of like an elbow and use the elbow to kind of push off so it doesn't look like your arm's fully extending, but it gives you slight separation, which in this case, it got him to the corner of the end zone, which the angle he took was perfect because he gave the quarterback room in the corner, the back corner of the end zone and toward the middle of the end zone. So he gave the quarterback quite a bit of room to put the ball, and he made a nice play over Xavier Rhodes. And I think it's something we haven't really seen from him. So I think it was really refreshing. And then today in a clip, we saw a one-on-one battle against Trey Waynes, who we know Trey Waynes is, you know, arguably one of the fastest players on the team, if not the fastest player on the team. So, you know, he's not going to beat him deep usually in that sense, but in the red zone they did one-on-ones today. And I saw something from Treadwell that I, you know, usually don't see, is his releases have usually been pretty weak, in my opinion, where he does this, like, I don't even know. I'm trying to explain it in the best way I can to that. He does a foot he used to do an attempt at a foot fire, but it would be super slow. He would kind of just like bounce instead of be quick in and out. So he'd kind of go more like vertical in a way than he would side to side, which would slow him down. And what it does is it just allows the DB to be more patient with him. But this time in this rep, it really looked like he gave the defensive back a good solid side to side foot fire move, and gave himself a little bit of free release off the line of scrimmage. And then he obviously made a really good play in the one-handed catch. But it's just small things that I'm starting to see from Treadwell that we weren't seeing in the past, that I think he's finally starting to learn the craft and be more serious about learning the craft. And it sounds like in the offseason he worked with somebody on some of his route running and everything like that. That stuff he hasn't been doing. So I think that's really important. I think it's starting to show, and people like John DeFilippo are taking notice, and they're making mention of it. And sounds like he's got the inside track toward that wide receiver three job. So I'm really excited about it. I'll be as excited as I am, just because I've heard some things that, you know, people inside the Vikings locker rooms, they seem to be more excited. They seem to be on board with it, but, you know, obviously we'll see what happens when the preseason games come and the regular season happens.
But for now, it actually looks like, because one of the things, and I know that Mike Zimmer, he's Mike Zimmer. He was very blunt in some of his criticisms about Treadwell kind of needing to stop doing that Cordero type stuff where you're working out really hard in the off season, running stairs and doing all that kind of stuff. But you can really see now, and that's one of the things that you did call out, is that it looks like he's putting in more of the work on the technical refinement now than just being in really good shape. And that's something you can see from what you're watching and the way he's moving in camp right now.
Yeah, definitely. You could see it 100%. He's starting to understand more of the ins and outs of what it takes to be a receiver at the next level. Cause in college, he could just be more physical than the person in front of him. He could outbody anybody just because he's so physically imposing. Like, he's a big, strong guy. Like, we know that. Like, we knew that going into the NFL, that he's a big, strong guy. He used that to his advantage in college. But when you get to the next level, when you have to go up against a guy like Xavier Rhodes, who's literally built exactly like he is, but more athletic, faster, stuff like that, he can't just bully a guy like Xavier Rhodes. So what he needed to do earlier on, in my opinion, was learn some of those small ways and small intricacies where he could figure out how to get himself open. And I think it looks like he's finally starting to take notice of guys like, you know, Coach Zimmer and some of the ways his production has been the first 2 years of his career where he hasn't really contributed at all. And I think he's starting to take notice and he's starting to grow up about it. So that's where I'm more excited. And like I said, I made a post about it on Twitter, I think the other day too, that some of these guys take longer to develop. Some of these guys take longer to kind of get out of their own heads and get out of their own way to start figuring things out. And like I said before, I'm not saying that means he's just going to come out here and have a huge breakout season, but I think he's finally starting to show that he might be able to contribute for this offense in a significant way. And I think that's important. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, your enthusiasm is infectious. I feel like you may be starting to convert me a little bit. Maybe we'll see, possibly, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously I want him to be good. He plays for my team. You know, I'm a fan of the Vikings, so hopefully he figures it out. Hopefully that, you know, they'll get some Nelson Aguilar out of him, and he'll figure it out this year, and he won't just be that guy they put out there on the island to draw a defender away so that Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah, John DeFilippo mentioned that on Paul Allen's show on KFAN. He used kind of him as a comparison in terms of, like, the first couple of seasons, he didn't really live up to his draft status and everything like that, but he started to figure it out in that third season last year, where, you know, he
he was so good last year. Not this. I don't think this is Treadwell's situation, but he was so good. Nelson Agholor was so good last year that they basically moved on from Torrey Smith and they made Nelson Agholor basically the wide receiver two heading into this season. And I think he's got a higher ceiling than Alshon Jeffrey does currently, which I think he could be the wide receiver one. But that's a different argument for a different day. And like I said, I'm not saying that's Treadwell, but I think he could have a spike in production that excites people and kind of brings you back to the reason why the teams drafted him in the first round.
Okay. All right. So with all of the positivity that you've just put out there, I will, let me see. How long do I think I can?
Somebody burn it down. Somebody will just burn it down. That's all right.
I'm trying to see how long I will. I am going to aim to have nothing negative at all to say about Laquon Treadwell for 48 hours.
All right.
You think I can make it? I mean, that's a pretty long. That's a long time, Mouse.
It is, and I think you could do it because you're going on vacation, so you're not.
Boom! There we go. 48 hours. No negativity about Laquon Treadwell. All right, Prince, you were out there cryptic tweeting on the timeline earlier today, something, maybe not risk something, deals are imminent. I don't know what you got going on, if you got sauces or you just speculating. But, you know, the man Anthony Barr, he's been a story of camp, you know, with his little mini holdout, getting insurance, not getting insurance, then make sure things are worked out. Is it a temper tantrum? I don't know what it is. But he's back. But since he's been back, the real story about him hasn't really been about what he's been doing with the linebacker group. It's the fact that he's been spending so much time with the defensive line. So I guess, what are your thoughts on, you know, now that, you know, Diggs has secured his funds, what are your thoughts on what's going on with Anthony Barr? And do you think he is also going to get a deal announced here in this offseason, or are they going to let him ride it out and play through the season and see what happens with him at this new position?
I mean, I think there's the couple of things that can definitely happen. It would definitely help the Vikings, honestly, long-term, if they can get a deal with Anthony Barr here soon, just because they obviously want to lower the cap. I know there's some other guys that they are really thinking about. Really signing Stephon Diggs doesn't really allow the Vikings to sign or at least keep on all of their rookies going into this season. So they don't have as much flexibility. So I know that obviously making a few moves, like, again, re-signing Anthony Barr would be a thing. Again, he might take a cheaper deal as far as, you know, being another guy who loves Zimmer, loves the core that we have built here, wanting to stay in Minnesota. I mean, a lot of guys just like, they just kind of want to just settle down and just play football, stay in a place where they're succeeding. And I think Anthony Barr knows he probably will succeed the best with Zimmer and the coaching staff and whatnot. So, the way that I was looking at it is, you know, I think even with the insurance policy, I think there's still, you know, I think he's also still trying to protect himself even beyond that, because I think the insurance policy probably can only protect him so much. And it probably is not going to pay him nearly as much as if he were to get, you know, a pretty fat contract, you know, 4 or 5 year extension or whatever the case is. So, I think that's part of it. He also could just be nursing an injury, in which he further doesn't want to re-injure and whatnot.
The team doesn't have to announce any injuries.
Not until we're into the first week of preseason games. So next week, I think, is when they have to start putting out a depth chart and then injury report. So, yeah, he doesn't have to do anything right now. So he might have a couple injuries or whatever the case is, but it could also just be he's trying to protect himself. You know, we'll see here in the next couple of days and or weeks.
I'll let you continue, Prince, here, but I think people forget guys will miss practices here and there during training camp. It happens. You want to be cautious. You don't want guys to further hurt themselves. Like, it's the first week of training camp, so I get it. But, like, guys are going to start getting banged up now that they have pads on. They start hitting. It's going to happen. So you're going to start seeing guys miss a practice here or two. Like, that stuff happens. It's normal. That doesn't mean that they're hurt long term or anything like that, but it's just cautionary. That stuff happens. So I just wouldn't look too much into it unless you hear something specific. So,
all right. So, gentlemen, over under 8 sacks, Anthony Barr this year in his new role as more of a pass rusher.
Under.
Okay. Miles, what you thinking?
Yeah, I'm under. I'd put him in that like 6 to 7 range, though.
Okay. So just barely under.
If they're going to do it as often as they make it sound, yes. I mean, we'll see, though. We'll see how much they actually do it.
I really say no more than 5. I just think there's – I mean, if they truly want to get him into that defensive lineman rotation or whatever, I guess I could agree with Miles. But I really think Anthony Barr is – he definitely is going to play some defensive end, but I mean, you still have Danielle Hunter, you still have Everson Griffin, you still have Sheldon Richardson, Linval Joseph. I mean, that defensive line is going to be, I think, a lot more rotational and healthier. But seeing him get 7-8 sacks, I don't see it.
Okay, oh ye of little faith. But I agree with you, so I can't really say too much. All right, well, let's get this thing moving along. We're going to bring it home. We don't need a lot of hard-hitting analysis for this next series of things that I want to ask you gentlemen here. The Hall of Fame, the induction ceremony, it's coming. And I scoured the internet today, and sad to say, I couldn't find a site that had some prop bets for the Hall of Fame. I figured some site out there would be catering to the true degenerates and have, you know, some prop bets out there that you could actually wager real money on. Couldn't find them. So we're going to have our own here. And first question, Miles, start with you on this one. Who is going to be more extra at the induction ceremony between Brian Dawkins and Ray Lewis?
It's Ray Lewis. I mean, Ray Lewis loves the attention. Like, absolutely loves it. Like, I know Brian Dawkins is – they have similar, like – styles in that sense, but I don't think Dawkins is quite as needing the attention the way Ray Lewis seems to. So I'm gonna say Ray Lewis.
Saxy Prince, are you rolling with Ray Lewis on this one, or does Weapon X maybe make an appearance?
No, I'm definitely going with Ray Lewis. I mean, look at him in the beginning of that Hall of Fame game. He loves the attention. Yeah, Ray Lewis.
Okay, well, I feel like this answers the next question, too. Who is going to have the longest speech, Saxy Prince?
I mean, Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is going to run us through his entire, not even just football career, his entire life. We might get a confession on Saturday night. <you know? laughs>
If I did do it.
If
I did do it with Ray Lewis.
But I didn't. But if I did, yeah, it's going to be Ray Lewis.
Okay. All right. Miles, I'm guessing you're going to roll with Prince.
Who's the coach? The old coach.
Oh, shoot. No.
I can't remember his name, but I think it's him. That dude was ready to keep talking today when they were interviewing him. Like, he was
like Tafoya cut him off with a quickness. Oh yeah, we gotta go to Marshall.
This dude was trying to tell stories from 45 years ago,
and we got a guy named Joe Gibbs. Yep. And they were like, if you hire a guy named Joe Gibbs, Michelle was like, all right, bro, I'm gonna need you to wrap this up, buddy.
I think that dude's about to go on for an hour, and they're about to give him the wrap it up box. And
who we got? Where? What? Of course, they show us a picture. I need the names, yo. I need the names. Is it Bobby Bethard?
Yes. Yep. That's it.
Bobby? Is that CJ's grandpa or something?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Bobby Bethard. Yeah, he looked like he's going to be ready to go. Yep. Jerry Kramer might go for a minute too.
Yeah.
make people pay for all those years he felt like he was waiting. he might go for a bit too.
Offensive lineman, man.
Yeah, man. Finally get a chance to actually be out front. He might take all his time. So this is okay. No, I'm gonna ask the question. Am I the only one who forgot Brian Urlacher was even in this class?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I remembered, but someone made a compelling argument.
Ooh. But with
was Zach Thomas?
Yeah, it was Zach Thomas.
I mean, it's valid.
It is valid.
So what was the argument?
Well, so
just that like Zach Thomas was better like overall, and he's not a first ballot Hall of Fame.
Why y'all got to compare to white linebackers though?
Because their stats are really similar. They played a like similar amount of games, and but Zach Thomas had more All Pros, and I think he had more like turnovers or something. I don't remember.
Likely story. Likely story. All right. So it wasn't just me then. And then our last prop here, Miles, start with you on this one. Over under on the minutes for Randy Moss to tear up. 3 minutes. Where are you going?
Under.
Sexy Prince?
Actually, no. Dang it. It's over.
Make up your mind, Miles.
It's over.
Okay.
I'm going to go under. And I think the minute he starts talking about Denny Green, which will probably be in the first couple of minutes of his speech, he'll start tearing up.
Yeah, okay. You're probably right. Dang.
No, Miles. Miles, you've... It's locked in.
It's over.
On the over.
It's over.
Prince got the under. Okay. Randy Moss. Prince, what's your favorite Randy Moss moment?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few, but I think I'm going to go with this because I actually remember watching the game. It's the play with Dante Culpepper rolls out to the right, whatever, just before halftime. Deep bomb to Randy Moss into triple coverage. Randy Moss catches it. Tosses it over his shoulder to Mo Williams and scores the touchdown right before half. And, you know, PA's call with it was fantastic. You know, I think he said something along the lines of the Randy Moss's improvisational skills would, like, win him an Academy Award or whatever. And I think it's phenomenal. I think it kind of just, I don't know, just like Randy Moss was an entertainer. And I think that was for entertainment purposes. Did he have to do that? No. But it just, that was something exciting to watch in football besides, you know, just like the big catch or whatever. It was just like, you know, people want to do that in football, but you know, it's not the smartest play all the time. So that's probably my favorite play of his.
Okay. Miles, how about you? Obviously wide receiver, you know, sure you grew up idolizing Randy Moss a little bit.
I grew up idolizing Chris Carter. But then Randy Moss came along and I was like, oh my Lord. cause like Chris Carter made all the crazy insane catches. Like the dude was like, you know, arguably the best hands of all time, but then you paired him with Randy Moss. Oh my gosh. So my first memory was 98, obviously, was the Cowboys Thanksgiving game. Like
that. Bro.
Like that one will, I'll never forget that.
Three receptions, 163 yards, and three touchdowns.
And what, didn't he have a 2-point conversion too? Like, what? Like, I'll never forget that just because, like, it was insane. But then obviously the mooning in Green Bay was another great situation that I loved and I'll never forget. So,
yeah, I enjoyed that one. It's the Cowboys game for me too, just because, you know, anytime Dallas can get cooked, that's. Brings an extra measure of joy, but like that was when you really realized like he was something different, like in that Dallas game. There was just nothing they could do. Like I'm watching actually the highlights, some Randy Moss highlights right now, and there's like no one within like 7-8 yards of him on all of these passes.
Even with the angles they take, like the hesitation step that he took, in that Cowboy game down the sideline, like. Literally just a split second, and he created himself that separation to get that touchdown. Like the dude's gears, like is unlike anybody you ever seen.
I cannot wait. Yeah, very much looking forward to his induction, his speech, all of that. Might have to come back and do a breakdown of just that after that all goes down because yeah, when I did the poll, I guess last summer or 2 summers ago. It was funny looking at like the breakdown of people on Twitter, and there was a clear large percentage of the fan base that became fans of the Vikings simply because of Randy Moss, like a huge percentage. There's like obviously the people born in Minnesota were the biggest percentage, like born into it. But then the next chunk was Randy Moss, and then
JR.
And then coincidentally, right after that, it was Teddy Bridgewater. Go figure. Were the two things that brought in the largest percentage of out of state fans into Vikings fandom in my really, really unscientific Twitter poll. So yeah, that's it. Those are the things we wanted to cover today. This Miles Prince, was there anything you wanted to talk about, shout out, let the people know about?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be at practice tomorrow on Saturday. Scrimmage on Saturday, so I'm excited about that. And I know Prince will be down there on Saturday too, so we'll be bringing some coverage.
They got a hoop out there?
I bet Diggs has a hoop at his new place, so
we'll get a hoop out there. We might need something, a hoop, a 40-yard dash, something to start this competition thing going here. I like Miles just sitting there like confidently laughing. We need this to go down.
We could have a throw off, man. Let's go.
Oh boy.
What Saxon, are we having?
We have throw off. Miles ready to get the arm going.
Oh, throwing a little pigskin around, huh?
All right. Yeah, Prince about to go find a fence right now.
Prince forgets I was a pitcher
in high school.
So. And Saxy, you're heading down there. How many days are you going to be down there?
I'll be down there on Saturday. I work on Friday, so I can't tomorrow. I'll try to make it down there for a little bit on Saturday. It's my mom's 60th birthday party, and that's kind of a big celebration, Nigerian culture and whatnot. So I mean, that's probably what I'll be spending all my Sunday doing. So pictures coming. You'll see that. Yeah, I definitely need to do that because my mom won't. Yeah, I have to get there early.
Or you won't be back for any podcast.
Yep.
Not ever.
For nothing. My mom's birthday on Monday. My mother-in-law's birthday today. Woo! My wife's birthday next Friday. So,
ooh, Miles' bank account is not looking good right now.
Nope.
I'm loading up tomorrow morning with the two girls, my mother and my mother-in-law, to drive 6.5. Well, it's supposed to be a six-hour drive.
You have a babysitter.
Supposed to be a 6-hour drive. Probably gonna be seven and a half, maybe 8 after all the stopping to pee and all that stuff. And it's gonna be good times. Good times. Family reunion though.
So yeah, I'll try to be down Saturday night. Probably Monday. I'll try to sneak over there. I'll try to get there sporadically as I can, but I'm definitely gonna be there through the 13th through the 15th, so the Jaguar practices, I should be there.
Please try to get a quote from Jalen. Please. We need it. We need a quote
sassy,
from Jalen.
Sassy quote, too.
We need a sassy quote.
Not just a regular
quote. Oh,
dude. Question with, like, Stephon Diggs said he was cooking you or something, so we can get the full.
Y'all know I'm looking forward to
the maximum Jalen. We need.
Y'all know I'm looking forward to seeing that, Jalen.
Yeah, that's going to be some good stuff right there. Well, just want to, again, give a shout out all the listeners. You know, we've been doing this a little bit more as we should have probably been doing all along. Made it through here, but it is a little bit fun because Miles is going down to training camp, not just as a fan. He's actually going to be credentialed on the field, repping Climbing the Pocket, which is crazy to think about that this silly website that started off as I don't hate Sam Bradford dot blogger dot whatever to whatever has actually turned into something that Vikings gave a field pass to. So that's crazy, and it wouldn't have happened without all of y'all. So thank you for sticking with us for this long. And Miles, now the pressure's on. You got to deliver some content or something, some quotes, some videos, some something for the people to justify, you know, you're getting all up close and personal with all the players and stuff.
Yeah.
Live tweet something. We don't know. Miles is gonna do something. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna love it. You'll be right down there, and that's gonna be great. In terms of things that have come out recently, JR dropped a new episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast today. If you're not subscribed, make sure you go and do that. It's good stuff, good episode. I listened to it while I was stuck in traffic today, and it helped the time go right on by. Eric, Luke, and myself also dropped an episode of the Pocket Protectors podcast. Talked about some fun things in there. What's the likelihood that 2018 Kirk Cousins is better than 2017 Case Keenum? Todd Gurley versus the top running back by committees in the league. Stephon Diggs versus Todd Gurley. Which player has been more valuable over the last three seasons? That was an interesting one. Answer might surprise you. And then, based on a conversation that that old Eric and Flip had on the timeline, we talked about if your team's really bad at passing, see the Vikings throughout basically all of Adrian Peterson's tenure, should you run the ball more to give yourself a better chance to win? Spoiler alert, you shouldn't do that. You're still not going to win anything. But yeah, it was a fun podcast, a lot of good episodes, and there's a lot of other great stuff over at climbingthepocket.com. Head on over, check it out. We got stuff from Josh, who's been at training camp every day, Alex, who was at training camp last weekend, and we got some new fantasy rankings from Ryan. So come on over, check it all out. And that's it. I think I plugged everything I'm supposed to plug. Did I miss anything, guys? Okay, well, then, no, I guess I didn't miss anything. Well, that's it. Once again, listeners, thanks for sticking with us this long. My name is Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason, here with Miles and the Sexy Prince. And, yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.